I got the following shaila that I found very interesting, and I think it comes up all the time. Someone sent me an email that he's a Baal Tzedakah, apparently gives to a lot of different causes, and he was meeting with somebody who was representing a certain tzedakah, and as the meeting was going, he had a sense that he definitely wanted to contribute to this person's organization, to this tzedakah. He was impressed by the organization, and he was so impressed that he actually had a number in his mind that he was going to give. Now, at the end of the meeting, he never actually told the guy, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars, whatever the amount is that he had in his mind. He never verbalized the amount of money that he's going to give, but he definitely had a number, for argument's sake, let's say $1,000 in his mind. And he ended the meeting, you know, it looks like you're doing a great mitzvah, it's a wonderful organization, Hatzlacha Rabba, we'll be in touch. That kind of conclusion to the meeting. I don't remember, and it's, you know, whether it happened in this case or not, it's just important. I don't remember whether in this particular case he told the guy, I'm going to give you something and we'll be in touch, or he just said, we'll be in touch, and never made any promises to give anything. But either way, he had in his mind a certain number, again, for argument's sake, $1,000. The fellow then had a little time to think about it after the representative of the tzedakah left, and he was thinking about all of his different obligations and his different tzedakahs that he supports and his different places where he has other obligations to give his money, and he realized that, let's say, again, for argument's sake, the number $1,000 may have been a little high, and maybe $500 would be a more responsible number for him to give. So he wanted to know, is he mechuyev to give the $1,000 because that's what he thought first, or does thought make absolutely no difference whatsoever? If you didn't say it, you didn't say it. So this issue is an issue of neder. It's an issue of what counts as a neder to tzedakah, what counts as a neder in general. Oh, and by the way, what about if, let's say the $1,000 was more than a chomesh nechasav, was more than 20% of his property, and the halacha is, hamavazvez, al yavazvez yosef mechomesh, you're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. Would that change the halacha in any way? So just to get that part out of the way, I don't think that would change the halacha. I don't think that was the case over here, but I don't think that would change the halacha in any way for a number of reasons. First reason is that amvaziz ali vaziz yosef mechomesh is a din in mitzvah saseh, in tzedakah and other mitzvah saseh. That when it comes to mitzvah saseh, you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money for mitzvah saseh. But once you're dealing with a lo saseh, with an iser, so then you have to spend all of your money in order to avoid violating an iser. When you're talking about violating a neder, we're dealing in the world of iser. We're not dealing, lo yachal dvaro is in the world of iser. We're not dealing in the world of mitzvah saseh, so it would seem like a davar pashut that would not make a difference. Also, there is a halacha that if a person is an ashir muflag, he's allowed to give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. So, and defining what an ashir muflag is very tricky, but I'll just note that Rav Shechter has told me that he considers himself an ashir muflag, and that's why he gives 50% of his money to tzedakah. Mind you, Rav Shechter does not have a big house in Back Lawrence, nor does he own a car, I don't think. You know, but he's an ashir muflag, so he feels like he can give way in excess of 20% of his money to tzedakah. So how do we define ashir muflag? I'm not sure. My guess is that whoever would be asking this kind of shayla often will be, at least by that definition, an ashir muflag, even if maybe not by everybody's definition, an ashir muflag. But so anyway, I don't think a mevazis makes a difference over here. But what about the neder status? Is there any sort of commitment, any sort of obligation to give a neder that was made completely in your brain? So there is a sugya in Maseches Shavuos and Daf Chav Vav and Beis, where the Gemara is very clear that in order for a neder to be chal, you have to be motzi besvasav, exactly what you're thinking. There has to actually be a match between what's in your mind and what comes out of your mouth, and it has to be atchahotzi besfasav. It has to actually be verbalized, it has to be enunciated. If it's never verbalized, it does not have a din of a neder. However, the Gemara says there are two exceptions. Wherever the Torah says, kol nediv lev, whenever it calls nediv lev, so that's the generosity of the heart, that could have a din of a neder or nedava in the heart itself, even if it's just in the thought and it's not an actual action or verbalized in any way. Where do we have nediv lev? So the Gemara says, dafka by kachim and by truma. There's such a din of nediv lev that only by kachim, by truma, if you think about it, that's enough to obligate you. Anywhere else, thinking about it does not obligate you. So it would seem to be an open and shut case over here. Tzedakah is neither kachim nor truma, so thinking that you want to give a certain amount of money should not obligate you to give that amount of money. However, and in fact, you know, we said open and shut case, the Beis Yosef in Yerdeus and Reishon Ches quotes Tshuvas HaRash Klal Yud Gimel Siman Aleph, where the Rush very clearly paskins, like this Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, that tzedakah does not fit the criteria over here, and therefore tzedakah, if you just think, you are not obligated. And the Beis Yosef quotes that the Rambam paskins this way, and many other Rishonim paskin this way as well. The Rush, the Rif, the Rambam, the large majority of Rishonim, and certainly all those Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch bases his psak on. However, the Mordechai, quoted by that same Beis Yosef, and also quoted in the Darkei Moshe, in Yerodein Siman Reish Nun Ches, the Mordechai writes that tzedakah has a din of kachim. And whatever the dinim are by kachim, the same din applies to tzedakah. And therefore, if you have a machshava to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah, even if you never verbalize that machshava, it has a din of a neder, and you have to give that money to tzedakah. So what do we pass from the Shulchan Aruch? Says the Ramah. The Mechaber doesn't say anything. And again, we know what the Mechaber is going to say. Mechaber passes like the Ramah, Riff, and the Rush. So the Mechaber is obviously going to say that that you're not obligated to do anything if you just had a thought. Says the Ramah, Im chishev b'libo litein eze davar l'tzedakah. Chayiv l'kayim machshavaso ve'ein sarach amira. Eladim amar mechayiv noso l'kayim. That if a person just has a machshava, he has to do what he thought, even if he never said a word. But if he said it, then we could even, the lashon of the Ramah is mechayiv noso l'kayim p'skei tshuva kotzcham sofer, that it's got to be a typo, it should be kofen noso l'kayim. Then we could even force him. Before he says anything, we can't force him because we don't know what he thought. But once he says something, then we can force him because now we know because he said it, so then we could force him. But that's the first day. And then the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim dim lo hotzi b'piv eno klum. That yesh omrim, that if you didn't say anything, if you didn't verbalize it, then there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Normally speaking, in Shulchan Aruch, when you have a stam deya and then a yesh omrim, how do you paskin? Like the first one, normally. If it's a yesh omrim and a yesh omrim, you're passing like the second one. Stam and a yesh omrim, normally you're passing like the first one. However, over here, the Ramah doesn't even leave it to chance. He writes, Vayikr kisvara harishona, that we paskin like the svara harishona, like the first shita, and therefore, if you have a machshava to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah, you're obligated to give that amount of money to tzedakah, even if you never verbalized it. So it would seem, now we went from an open and shut case in one direction to say that he doesn't have to give to an open and shut case for any Ashkenazi Jew, not for a Sephardi, but for an Ashkenazi Jew, that he does have to give whatever number he thought in his mind. However, there's another wrinkle over here, and that is the Pischei Tshuva on the spot in Siman Reish Nun Ches, Sifkat and Tezvav, quotes from a Tshuva's Das Eish, where the Tshuva's Das Eish is Ma'arich Bazeh, says the Pischei Tshuva, the Hel, and he concludes, Devadei Kishadam Lahotzim Yipiv Klum, Af Shahib Machshava Shalalitein Shum Davil Tztaka, Ein Shum Chiyuv Alav. If the guy never said anything, he has no chiyuv. What's the Ramah talking about where he has a chiyuv even though it was only a thought? That's if he thought a number and he said, I'm going to give tzedakah, but never said a number. Then he's obligated to give that number. But if he never said anything, no words of any promise to give anything ever came out of his mouth, then he doesn't have to do anything. So going back to our case that we started with, it would now turn out that according to this Pischei Tshuva, it depends how the conversation ended. He may have thought $1,000 in his mind. Whether he has to give that $1,000 or not depends on, did the conversation end with Hatzlacha Rabbi, you have a wonderful organization, in which case he would have to give nothing because he was never motzi b'piv any sort of neder, or did he say, I look forward to helping your organization, I look forward to helping you out over here, I'll let you know how much later, in which case he would be obligated to give the full $1,000 that he thought in his mind. That would be the shita of the tshuva's Das Eish. Now there are several tshuvas in Achronim that discuss these types of issues that come up. The Be'er Moshe, the Debrecina Rav in Chelek Beis, Siman Ches, says that one time he was in a series of tshuvas that he has at the beginning about the halachic status of ksiva. Does writing count as speaking? Let's say ksiva for Sfiras HaOmer. When you write the name of the day of the Omer on a letter, when you're dating the letter, does that count as Sfira? So now you can't make a bracha on Sfira later on. So in a series of tshuvas all about ksiva, he says he was once asked by somebody who sat down to write checks to tzedakah. The guy wrote a check for, let's say again, $1,000 to tzedakah, and then he realized, that seems a little high. He ripped up the check and wanted to write another check for $500. Is he bound by what he wrote? So in the context of that tshuva, he discusses two issues. The status of ksiva, does ksiva have a din of dibur? But even if ksiva doesn't have a din of dibur, then you still have to deal with our issue of the neder in his mind. So over here, he never said ever, he never said anything that I'm going to give. It was all in his mind. But so according to the Das Eish that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, he'd be fine. He wouldn't have to give it. Says the Debre Tzinner, I think the Das Eish misread every single Ramah. The Ramah that over here in Reish Ches, where the Ramah refers you to in Choshen Mishpat, the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, in all of them, Debre Tzinner goes through to show you how it's very clear that the Ramah holds, even if you say nothing whatsoever, you're still obligated to keep that which you think in your mind, and there's no heter. So he thinks that aliba de kuli alma l'chola deus chayiv l'kayiv nidvas libo v'asu lo lachzer. So he says you're not allowed to be chozer in this case. And then you add to the fact that he actually did a maisa of writing something, makes it even worse. There are other tshuvas on the topic as well. We're not going to get into all the details. Minchas Yitzchak and Chelek Vav, Simon Tzadi Zayin discusses the case of a Talmud Chacham whose wife was ill, and he made these incredibly generous nedarim while his wife was in his mind of giving away everything. Like, he was so distraught about his wife being ill, of just giving away everything to poor people, and then obviously it was an unlivable situation. You also have a tshuva in the whereas in the Knei Vosem, Chelek Aleph Sim Kuf Yudalit also discusses a case of someone whose Rosh Yeshiva died, and the Yeshiva was going to be closed down, and he was so distraught by it that he, in his mind, decided that he was going to raise millions of dollars for the Yeshiva, but he was a kol guy and he had no way of raising millions of dollars. He assumed that everyone in America is just going to give millions of dollars because he was so distraught. So anyone he ever met with money is just going to send checks. So he wrote letters to Big Gvirim, send me $500,000. So they'd send him $36 or whatever, you know, and he didn't know what to do about it. Is he chayiv to keep the nether? So the poskim in those cases come up with creative solutions while still maintaining the psak of the Ramah. So you have to figure out what the creative solutions might be. Each situation is different. But certainly as a l'chachila matter, it's advisable to stay away from committing to a number in your mind. To say maybe, you could say maybe in your mind, but to committing to a number, it should always be avoided, to committing to any number or to reach into your pocket to give, and then the ani's not there. Sometimes that happens in shul. You want to give the person who's coming around collecting stuff, you reach in, you pick up a dollar in your pocket, and you wait for them to come, and they never get to you. Like, I'm going to chase the guy down, so you have the dollar. So it should always be, you should always have in your mind al-tanai, that the guy actually gets here, and that I get to give the money, but it's not an absolute commitment, because absolute commitments for us Ashkenazic Jews are something that we have to take seriously. Okay.